We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Roto Grinders Morning Grind Podcast. I'm your host, Stevie TPFL. It's Friday. It's April 5th. It is 2024. We have a nice 7-game baseball slate to talk about here on today's podcast. Joined today by my good buddy, Will Priester, Chief Just So 6. Chief, I will say the chat has been riled up, and I think we have now set the line at 1.5 for mutes. So we'll have some fun with that. What's happening, my friend?
Nothing much, man. Glad to come on. I am going to try to be the house today and take everyone's money. You will not make money off my mutes today. You guys got to learn how to win this thing. You got to not bring it up and just let nature take its course. Now that you've brought it up, see, I'm going to be hyper aware. I may have some delayed responses, but I will not move my mouth without clicking the unmute button. I want all the house money here in my pocket today.
Yeah, you guys brought it up. That's what you got to wait. You can't bring it up. So, you know, now he's aware of it. All right. Well, hope everyone's having a great Thursday night over there on YouTube, and pumped to have Will on. And nice slate, a lot of pitching. Day baseball on Friday, just fantastic. You know, we're not talking about that slate, but just, you know, we're getting some day baseball on a Friday. And a nice little 7-gamer here, starts at 6:40 Eastern. Weather looks okay here. You know, obviously it's the night before, but gosh, love when the weather's okay. And we can break this thing down and have some fun. We get started at the top. Mets, Reds, 9 total. Pretty much a pick'em game. Cincinnati, a very slight favorite in this one. Jose Quintana, Hunter Green. Let's go Jose Quintana first. Any interest here in Quintana?
No.
He's like, I'm not even playing around. Like, we're getting the quick nose already. We're not getting muted mics. Quick nose. I mean, Jose Quintana for me almost always is a no. He's not a high ceiling guy. We have a lot of great pitching on this slate. I think I'm going to pass on him as well. The other side of this, you know, we got Hunter Green. He threw 100 pitches in his first start. He struggled with a little bit of command, but 100 pitches. They were really trying to get him that fifth inning, that last out of the fourth inning, or last out of the fifth inning. Any interest here in Hunter Green at 8,300?
I do have interest in Hunter Green for tournaments. I probably wouldn't play him in cash, Stevie, but, I mean, this is a guy that historically over his past 2 seasons has been close to a 30% K guy. And so, you know, when we're saying, hey, you know, he's got the juice here. I mean, even in that game, tough game against Washington, like you said, struggled with command, 4 walks, still had 7 strikeouts, Stevie. Like, that's it. If for some reason when Babbitt is in his favor, he's got 30 to 40 point upside on DraftKings. We just got to hope that, you know, he can pitch around the Mets a little bit in the Great American Small Park. I think for tournaments at 8,300, he's in. I'm not fading him for tournaments in mass multi-entry.
Yeah, I think chasing some strikeout upside is definitely worth it here. I mean, it's been a really slow start to the season pretty much for the whole Mets lineup. They finally got their first win against Detroit in game two of the doubleheader on Thursday. But slow start for Stewart, McNeil, Beatty. Like, these guys are striking out at huge clips. So obviously it helps when you get when you go from like Citi Field to the Great American Small Park. You know, you're going from one of the worst hitting ballparks in baseball to one of the best hitting ballparks in baseball. So let's talk about these Mets bats on teams that you're not playing Hunter Green. Because, I mean, we're not playing Hunter Green 100% here by any means. He does give up a lot of hard contact. It is a very small ballpark. He is a fly ball guy to lefties. I think we chase some home runs here. You know, it's been a slow start for the Mets, but you obviously could chase a home run with Alonso against anybody. But I think this is a spot you could potentially chase a home run with, like, DJ Stewart, Brett Beatty, Francisco Lindor is someone that definitely gets a bump in this spot. So I don't know if I full stack the Mets. I definitely consider them a secondary stack here. What are your thoughts on the Mets?
Yeah, for sure. Definitely think, you know, in terms of, even if we're not saying strictly one-off Stevie, so many stacks of, you know, Lindor, Nemo, Lindor, McNeil, Lindor, Stewart, Stewart, Nemo, Stewart, McNeil, different things. I think that's something we can get a lot of. Roll around with. I will say, if I'm going three man, I got to have Alonso in some of them. Like, he's their power guy, you know, the polar bear himself. And I know Hunter Green, once again, man, huge strikeout guy. But if we're going to get home runs, it's got I think he's in the mix. So he would definitely be on my radar. Once again, I'm with you. Don't want to completely stack the Mets, but some mini stacks, 2 to 3, I think is definitely reasonable. And within the cards here, in the cards for this team.
Going to the other side, the Reds, Jose Quintana is hittable. I think that's the nicest way to put what Jose Quintana does. Low strikeout guy. And, I mean, he gets hit. He generates some ground balls. He does a good job of doing that. He does a good job of limiting hard contact. But we're also getting now, like, to the end part of Jose Quintana's career, and I just feel like this is going to be a year that we're really going to be picking on him, and he's going to get hit hard. The Reds have, like, this really young, high upside offense. What are your thoughts on the Reds bats?
Yeah, man, love the Reds bats. I think a lot of people are going to like the Reds bats, Stevie. They've kind of come into the season as the darling team just for DFS. Just in terms of pure matchup, they open up the season, I mean, with bad pitchers, it felt like. And we've just been playing them ever since. But I think one of the main reasons for that, Steve, is they're still not overpriced. Really, they're one, you know, let's call it name value bat. Ellie De La Cruz, he's 5,300. Outside of that, Stevie, everybody else is very reasonable. I mean, their most expensive catcher in Stevenson is 3,600. Encarnacion Strand, 4,300. India 45. Now, India was in the 3K range. He has come up since the Open, you know. But Candelario, he's, you know, he's 4,400, and you know, I think he should play. I don't think he's going to be out here. Like I said, Ellie's over 5K. Steer 4,700. Benson 3,900. I know Martini's a lefty. Will he play today? I feel like he's their everyday guy. He's 3,700. My point, Steve, is they're just not overpriced. And I think that alone, when you talk about them being a young, high upside team, I think a lot of people will end up liking the Reds. This slate isn't huge. I do want to check their ownership. Right now I'm in. If the ownership's a little bit too high, maybe I taper my ownership levels in my build. But all in all, right now, Cincinnati's a great team to play today.
Yeah, love this spot. Just in general, Spencer Steer should draw like a third or fourth spot in the lineup here. He was hot in spring, and he hasn't slowed down. He's just been hitting the ball every time he gets up to the plate. It feels like he had a great series against Philly, 6 for 13 in that series with multiple. I think he had 3 extra base hits. So Steer just keeps crushing the ball. We should get Fraley out of the lineup here. So Stuart Fairchild and Fraley are platooning each other this year. So you should get Stuart Fairchild in the lineup here, depending on where he hits. He's a guy, a solid on base guy. Definitely gets a bump with a pitcher that doesn't have a huge strikeout rate. It'd be interesting to see if they catch Stevenson or Molly. I would assume they catch Stevenson because they did have a day off on Thursday. But either one of those catchers that draw the start here are in play. We should mention Candelario left the game on Wednesday with, it looked like an elbow injury. So we'll see if he's back or not. But yeah, like the Reds, I think that this is a good game to target home runs. You know, get your home run bats in this game. It's a good game for home runs. 9 total. I mean, it's no secret. We got Philadelphia at Washington. Aaron Nola against Patrick Corbin. 8.5 total. Philly, a 180 favorite. Let's talk Aaron Nola. Big struggles opening day against the Atlanta Braves. And I'm like, okay, some of that is Atlanta Braves, but some of that is 12 hits. Like, Atlanta's good, but Aaron Nola struggling with command and giving the ball up over the plate too much in that game. What are your thoughts here when it goes to Nola after watching his first start of the season?
Stevie, this same thing happened last year. I'm actually starting to have real concerns. I'm not sure if you were kind of remember last season.
Yeah, really slow start.
Yeah, struggled in spring training, carried that into this season. And really, he didn't have the best spring training this year, Stevie. He had some rough spots, and now he's carried that into the season. Now, I want to give him somewhat of a pass because, once again, he did face one of the best teams in baseball in terms of offense opening days. So, I get it. I'm also with you, Stevie. When you're giving up 12 hits, like, if it's 6 hits, okay. Like, that's 12 hits, Stevie, 7 runs, 2 home runs. I'm a little concerned here because Washington isn't going to strike out a ton in this spot, and he also didn't really have the strikeouts. Like, if I would have seen 12 hits, 6 strikeouts, you know, you're just kind of getting touched up, or 7 strikeouts in 4 innings, it's like, okay, like, we've got something to balance out, you know, the negative. But he only had 3 strikeouts in 4 1/3 innings. The Braves are a much better offense than Washington. Don't get me wrong. I'm actually really concerned. I'm fading Nola today. And I know I went all around the way to say I'm fading him. But name value, he's a good pitcher. But we're starting to see he's starting to become a repeat offender in my book. I think by June, we'll probably change our tune, Steve. But right now, I'm not going to play him. I'm going to take the fade because we have enough good pitchers for me to reach with Aaron Nola, who may be struggling to start the season.
So I think I'm on the opposite side of you. I think this is a good buy low spot for everything that we saw. And the reason that I'm going to say, like, the weather in that game was awful. It was like a cold, misty, like, they even got some rain in that game. Like, I'm going to kind of chalk up, like, his swing and strike rate being down on just the fact that, like, if anybody's ever pitched in the cold and with a wet ball, like, the baseball is almost impossible to grip. It's just awful. He only gave up 15% hard hits. He had a 556 BABIP in that game against Atlanta. If he's going to be chalky, I'm with Will. I'm out. But I do think that Nola is going to be someone that is going to go low-owned on this slate because of how awful he was. And honestly, we talked about it all year, last year, all year. We've talked about it a little bit to start this season. Washington just doesn't have a great lineup again this year. This is a lineup we're going to target a lot. The bottom half of this lineup is awful. When one of your best power guys is Joey Gallo, who also gives you a 43% K rate, I mean, you have to have slight interest in pitching against Washington. I'm going to, again, buy low here on Nola, and I like him today. I think this is an excellent bounce back spot. If he goes out and struggles in this spot, I'm worried. But I'm not going to worry about facing Atlanta, facing them in bad conditions, and having a 550 BABIP. That's like half of the balls being in play are hits, and that is just real. Like, average BABIP is like, I think, 290. 550 is almost double that. Patrick Corbin, you know, he's still not good at throwing baseballs. You said it. You're like, hey, the Reds have gotten some good matchups. Well, they got Patrick Corbin. That was one of the guys they faced. Corbin, he was awful in his first start of the season. You know, obviously, he's a guy that you're always worried about walks. The strikeout rate's way down. He got absolutely hammered in that game, looking at his hard hit rate from one start. Like, no chance on playing Patrick Corbin today. And I assume you're going to give me the old-fashioned quick no here.
Nope, no Corbin.
No, it would have been funny though, Will, if you were like, I'm on the opposite side of you with this one. That would have been great.
No,
but I think not with Corbin.
I think the only person we've been opposite on so far this year, I think, was Blanco from Houston.
Yeah, and I was wrong, right? I didn't like him that much.
Yeah, but I mean, it was just, you know.
He dominated them. I watched a lot of that start, and I mean, we've talked about it for years about the Blue Jays being bad against changeups, and he dominated them with the change. And then Javier tried to do the same thing. Was it two nights later or the next night? And he couldn't locate the changeup. Like he was, he was pitching fine.
He just couldn't locate the place. I was what are you doing?
Let's talk Philly bats. I'm sure. You're with me on this one. We have a lot of interest in Philly. Who do you like here?
See, I like everybody. Lefties, righties, you name it. I mean, but Castellanos should flash a little bit of power hit. Trey Turner, geez, 6,100. Love him. Stott, Harper, Real Muto. See, I like the whole team. I'm in. Yeah. Like, lefties, righties, I'm in on a whole team here. No reason to not feed Philly. I'm hoping maybe because they're slightly more expensive than Cincinnati, Stevie, that they don't get as much ownership. Like, I'm just hoping they don't get as much. And if so, beam me up, Scotty. I'm taking Philly all the way. This is a great spot for them today.
Yeah, and they haven't – honestly, they haven't been platooning a lot. They've kind of let their lefties face lefties. They do have some platoon options if they do end up going down. They have Sosa. They got Patchy. They have some big bats, like, waiting in the wings there. Alec Bohm is great against lefties. I assume that he'll be in the lineup here. So, I mean, Castellanos is one of my favorite plays on the entire slate for DraftKings. He's $1,000 too cheap for this matchup against Patrick Corbin. I hope he's not popular, but he should be. He's one of my favorite plays. But, yeah, all these guys. I think it's just, in general, a fantastic spot for Philadelphia. Any interest here in the Washington bats?
I'm close, Stevie. I think but here's what I think I'll do. I think I'll play them as a secondary at maybe 10%. The reason why I'm saying that, if for some reason, Aaron Nola's really messed up right now. Kind of like last season where he was having location problems, Stevie. Like he just couldn't put his pitches where he wanted them. And so he was hanging a lot of curveballs. They were right down the middle. And guys were just rattling off extra base hits. Like when I watched him pitch, I watched those starts because he was someone I was tracking. I didn't get a chance to watch this start against Atlanta begrudgingly, but I am, if I can get my eyes on this one, I am going to try to watch it. I just want to see where he's at. I think I take some Washington stack secondary, you know, three or four mans, just in case he's just having another rough outing. But I'm not going to actively target him with this team where I'm going five deep.
Yeah, I think a head stack, like if I build five teams and I have Nola on three, building one of my other two teams a Nola with a head stack is fine. If you're playing like a 20-inch max and you're 25 to 35% NOLA, you want to build one or two Washington stacks. I don't hate it. It's just, again, like, I mean, Abrams, Gallo are like your two power guys. They just, one of the reasons that I like NOLA to bounce back here is because this lineup's just not great. So watching Martin Perez kind of beat down this lineup on Thursday, it's just, again, just goes to show, like, how bad Washington is again this year. I mean, I think they scored two runs off of Martin Perez, and Aaron Nola is a lot better than Martin Perez, even when Nola is like 75% Nola. So, moving on, we got Arizona at Atlanta facing your Braves. 8.5 total. Fun series. This is gonna be a good series. Maybe not this game, but this weekend series is gonna be great.
Early too. I mean, we're getting it early in the year too, Steve.
Yeah,
this is gonna be a fun one.
Atlanta is a 290 favorite. Tommy Henry against Spencer Strider. Arizona's like, all right, Strider's on the hill. We're just going to throw Tommy Henry out here. He's our he's just going to be the guy. Yeah, I'm not playing Tommy Henry against the Atlanta Braves today.
Nope, not doing it.
Like, even if it wasn't like Atlanta, just Tommy Henry is a low, like he ended the season at 16.8% last year. Give up 45% hard hits to righties, and he just struggles just in general. Gosh, just bad, man. Just bad. Spencer Strider, he's 11K. I don't know. I'm like, Spencer Strider could put up 30 against any team, and he pitched against Aaron Nola in that game, and he dealt with the same kind of conditions. Like, again, that's why I feel like it was more conditions than it was, because, like, he had a subpar Spencer Strider game, still really good game. Like, he threw 5 innings, had 8 strikeouts, gave up a couple runs. I just think it was conditions, and I feel like this is going to be way better conditions. Arizona is a great offense, but Spencer Strider is always a guy that I'm looking at for 10 plus strikeouts on any slate.
Yeah, this is an interesting one for me, Stevie, because once again, like you said, Arizona is a great offense. Are there spots during the year that I think we can fade Spencer Strider? I think today might be one of those days. I'm not saying I'm going to, Stevie, because once again, I mean, this is the highest upside pitcher we have in the league right now in terms of DFS. And it's, I don't want to say it's not close, but until DeGrom comes back, I mean, 100%, I don't think it's close. I think it's a strikeout upside. Once again, strikeout upside for DFS. There's some other good pitchers, Stevie, that I think can get close enough to his score for a lot less. And that's where I'm really kind of trying to think through, do I want to play Strider today at this price? I think the answer, I want, in my mind, I want to fade him, Stevie. In my heart, I don't think I can do it. He comes out here and goes 6 innings, 10 strikeouts, doesn't give up any runs. We'll be kicking ourselves knowing that this is always the highest upside pitcher. I think I play him because of his potential, not because of the spot today.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Yeah, the potential is there. Tough spot. I mean, when I play Spencer Strider, I usually end up like, again, I build 5 teams, so like my percentages are a lot different than like building 150. I usually will play him on like 3 or 4 or 5, because 3 or 4 of 5, if I said that too fast, because I felt like I said it too fast, typically never have 100% of a pitcher. I did, you know, 2 days ago. With Javier and Glasnow. I just played him on every team I built.
Yeah, I had 100% Glasnow. The slate called for that, though. Like, that was purely a slate dictation.
Right. So I think, like, today I probably end up on, like, 2 of 5 on Strider and feel pretty confident about it, because, like, the mid-tier on this slate, we haven't really talked about many of them, but the mid-tier on this slate is absolutely loaded. There are a lot of good options. So
including Hunter Green, like, we've already talked about.
Yeah, if we can get like 25 out of the mid-tier, and if Strider scores like 30, 35, we're not too far behind. If we get that like extra big bat in our lineup and that bat outscores like one of those cheaper bats. So, yeah. But yeah, I mean, I'm definitely going to play some Strider. I play Strider on every slate he pitches. Like, he is one of the – he is the most dominant strikeout pitcher in baseball. Like, he's one of the highest upside DFS guys, but he is the most dominant strikeout pitcher in baseball.
Yeah, I mean, Steven, I'll just bring this up from last year. Like, last year he faced Arizona, and I think everybody was like, oh, and it, this was more middle of the year by that time. He faced him early. It's like, man, Arizona's a tough lineup. And I think he went out there and legit got 10 strikeouts off these guys. Legit, like a strong 10, not like fooling around and lucked into it. You know how sometimes guys are in a jam and then they kind of have to pitch their way out of it? No, he just went out there and mowed them down like nobody's business. So I'm with you, man. Like, you just have to play him.
Arizona bats, anything here?
No, not doing it.
Yeah, I mean, you could. The problem is, like, Strider does give up some home runs, but pinpointing where the home run is going to come from is next to impossible. And Atlanta has a good bullpen. I'm not gonna play any Arizona bats.
I can't wait until we send Charlie Morton to the bullpen and get us another strong starting arm. If we get Morton to the bullpen, oh gosh, we'd be elite.
He had a good first outing, though.
No, he did. He did.
Yeah, I mean. Do you want okay? Not to rant like or get sidetracked, but when you want Renardo Lopez in the bullpen over Morton, I feel like you'd want Morton's a more consistent starter. Like, he might not have as much upside as Lopez, but Lopez coming in and throwing gas is going to be better than Morton throwing junk out of the bullpen.
Yeah. No doubt. I guess what I'm saying is, I'd love for Renardo Lopez to go to the bullpen too. I'm saying,
bring them all in.
Can we get us a starting combination of a Strider, a DeGrom, like one of those types of rotations? Like, we don't have that type of rotation. I'm waiting for the days where we can get a Strider, DeGrom type rotation. Oh, it's gonna be lovely.
Anyway, I think you have a pretty good rotation. Like, all right, I know. As a Red Sox fan, I think you guys got a pretty good rotation. Like,
listen, Chris Sale's there. We're just hoping he makes it through the year. If Chris Sale can make it through the year.
Yeah.
Completely healthy, I feel much better in October. Much better.
Oh, yeah. Great pickup if he can get there. Yeah. All right, let's talk Atlanta bats. I'm very interested in the righties. Like, I want to play the righties here for Atlanta. Just about any one of them. I like Ozuna a lot. Like Duvall on the cheap end, Arcia. What are your thoughts here when it comes to Atlanta?
Oh, yeah. Love Atlanta, man. Stacking this team up big time. I don't know how much ownership Acuña's going to get to there. I'm very interested to see. I know he's facing a lefty, Stevie, and Atlanta may, in fact, be popular. Ozuna's kind of started the season hitting pretty well so far, so I like him. I don't mind the lefty-lefty spot for Olsen here. You know, I know a lot of people may shy away from that. I won't be. I still think he's fine. Austin Riley, 5,700. The problem is Atlanta's expensive, Stevie. And if I'm playing the Braves bats, I most likely don't have Strider in those lineups. And that's kind of the give and take, I think, of this slate. You'll have to play a different offense with Strider. Unless, you know, last year we went to the bottom of the order and did some really unique things. I think we could probably get away with one big bat and a bottom of the order stack. But generally speaking, Atlanta's expensive, but I'm going to stack them, but I won't be able to play them with Strider.
Yeah, I mean, Ozuna, Duvall, Arcia, Darno, and one of Acuña or Riley, and I think you'd be able to fit Strider. But Strider being 11K on DK makes it a lot tougher to – and, okay, so, like, if you're stacking Atlanta and playing Strider, well, everyone's going to have that same stack that I just mentioned with him. So the thing is, like, if you're playing the Atlanta stack today, we're going to get – I mean, there's – 3 to 5 pitchers in this mid-tier I think you can play today. Like, the mid-tier is great today.
Yeah, exactly.
White Sox and Royals, 8.5 total here. The Royals, a 175 favorite. Eric Fede against Brady Singer. Fede actually, he had 7 strikeouts against Detroit in his opening day start. I hope his strikeout prop comes in high because of that start. Talk to me here about Fede.
So let me talk about Eric Fetty here. Stevie, he faced Detroit. It could be a fluke. Here's what I will tell you. He went to KBO. His strikeout stuff spiked about 30%. That's what he was in K. He was a 30% K guy in KBO. I'm not saying he's going to be 30% in the major leagues. What I am saying is if he can hover in the mid-20s consistently, like, this is a guy we're going to be able to use. He's got to get it done against Kansas City. Kansas City wasn't an incredibly high strikeout team in spring training. We'll see how they work out. Obviously, I know they just put a pounding on the White Sox today. I mean, last I checked, they had at least 10 runs, 8 to 10 runs, I think, Stevie, in that spot. I am expecting Kansas City to put up some nice performances this season. I think I'm going to let my affection for him in KBO sway me. At 7,200, he's going to be one of my cheap guys that I take a shot with. I'm going to take some shots with Fetty, and let's see if he can pull off another performance. If he gives me 18, I think I'm okay. I'll take 18 from Fetty in this spot at 7,200, Stevie. But once again, I'm going to – he had 96 pitches. He's fully stretched. Let's see if he can get through 5 innings fairly clean or possibly upside for 6 and keep that strikeout upside. If that's the case, he's still a touch too cheap. But once again, I'm just taking a couple shots with him today, not committing to, you know, like 30% or anything like that.
Okay, so I knew the whole KBO thing was going to come up, so I did some digging. That's what I do, Will. I do some digging. The fans, the listeners, they want to know, from a pitcher's mind, what's different. And from the pitcher's mind, what's different is he added a split finger. He, in his first start and in the KBO, did not use his cutter a lot, and he went from heavy cutters to mixing fastball, slider, splitter. We'll see how it translates over. Now we have more data, right? Like, now after the Detroit start, Kansas City is going to come out with more data. All right, well, we got to look for the splitter instead of the cutter. So I think that is one of the biggest differences that I saw. The other thing that I saw is he was up in velocity on average. His fastball's up in velocity. So Fetty, a guy that we picked on a lot, we're seeing him closer in velocity to like his 2021 velocity. And 2021, he still got hit hard. That was his highest strikeout rate of his career, though. He had a 21.7% strikeout rate that year. That was the highest he's ever had. He had a 9% swinging strike rate that season. So, again, maybe I wait, like, play the wait and see approach on like stacking against him. I don't know if I want to play him today, but I did want to like do the service of digging in and like finding out what's different. And the biggest thing that I saw was he's relying a lot less on the cutter, throwing the splitter more, which has a little bit more break to it, and using the splitter, his newfound pitch.
Here's what I will say, Stevie. I'm going to give you this parallel. If the splitter is going to work for him, he's going to be much closer to Kevin Gausman than the old Eric Fetty. I'm not saying he's Kevin. I'm saying if the splitter is working, because Gausman is like the guy in my mind that probably throws more splitters than anybody. Him and I think it's one of the guys. Is Sean Manaea? Not Manaea. Is it he's just one of the guys that probably throws the splitter about as much as Gausman. But I'm saying if it's going to work for him, he's going to be closer to Gausman than like the old Fetty, which is why I think we saw the strikeout rate spike in KBO, which is a high contact league, lower quality bats overall, obviously, but they're still pretty high contact. They want to hit to get on base, not to hit home runs.
We'll see what happens here overall, but I think the best comp that I always think about is just how bad Miles Mikolas was. Went over to KBO, developed like a bunch of off speed, like swing and miss pitches, and like he always had really good control. Came back over and was like dominant like the first like month and a half, 2 months of coming back over. And then, like, as the data started coming out, Mikola started getting hit a lot. So, I mean, maybe if you were to play Eric Fetty, this would be the start. This would be the time to do it. Like, you know, so honestly, the time to do it probably would have been his first start back. But,
and I did play him.
Yeah. Let's talk about Brady Singer on the other side here. Kind of a guy that we talked about a lot towards the end of last season. Somebody that I really liked towards the end of last season. Any interest here in Singer?
Oh, man, love Singer today. He's one of these mid-range guys, Steven. I think you also take a shot on facing the White Sox. I don't feel like the White Sox are a dominant team. I was not expecting him to come out and put up double-digit strikeouts right out of the gate, Steve. I mean, first start, 7 innings pitched, 10 Ks, 98 pitches. I will say this, the Kansas City Royals did have a really solid plan for their pitching staff for spring training. Most guys started with 2 innings, then 4 innings, and 5 innings. Like, they kind of worked their way up, the whole pitching staff. So Singer is a guy that was ready to go. Once again, at 8,700, I think he's in that mid-range like you talked about, another sweet spot pitcher in what I think is a fairly good matchup for him at home. So I like Singer today, no doubt about it.
He's probably my favorite pitcher on the slate. We saw close to velocity from the beginning of last season, and the slider was just so nasty against Minnesota. He doesn't throw his changeup a lot. He's really like a two-pitch guy. White Sox lineup stinks. I mean, I'm gonna live and die by picking on the White Sox lineup all year. This lineup is not good whatsoever. Nicky Lopez is an everyday starter for this team. No offense, Nicky. I know you probably listen, but you know, hey, you don't want me to make those jokes. Get that ISO up, dude. You know, overall though, all joking aside, Brady Singer, I think that he's a guy that could dominate, just absolutely dominate the White Sox here. So, Will, Josh in chat says Fetty's strikeout prop is 3.5 on DK. I think I like the over on that. I'm with you. Like,
it should have been 4.5. No way it should be 3.5. That's crazy.
Instantly pulling up the Hard Rock app to see if it's not available yet. So I'll be looking. Josh, I like that one. I like the over. What's the juice? I'm sure you're paying juice on that. What's the juice? All right, let's talk bats. Anything here on the White Sox that you like?
No, I'm not playing the White Sox.
No, I'm a full believer in Singer. He's probably going to be my highest owned pitcher on the slate, and I don't see the upside in a White Sox head stack. Kansas City, like, if I do end up playing like Fetty, or even if I don't play Fetty, I'll probably build at least one Kansas City stack here. And it's more of just the fact that if Fetty's not good, under is my over is +115. Yeah.
Josh, take that right now. Like, right now. Yeah. I don't think no way it ends there today. I just can't see it ending at +115.
No, I like that one too. I'm with you. I'll be writing that up on Scores and Odds when we're done with the podcast. So
I'm hopping in my little space right now, Stevie, to see if I can get it. Like, that's
yeah, that one's I like that one. It's like, it's not like the Royals are this like low strikeout team. Like you said, they had a good spring, but I mean, we watched Sorica have a really solid game against them, and he stinks. I was so mad. I tilted him. Like, Witt gets on to start the sixth inning, and I'm like, all right, Sorica under 16 and a half outs is live. And then Witt steals second, safe by a mile, slides off the bag, ruins the momentum of the inning, get the out there, get the next two outs, and I'm like, ah, gosh, I was tilted, but you know, there's strikeouts. Perez is a strikeout guy. Garcia is a strikeout guy. Melendez strikes out. Hunter Renfro strikes out. Yeah, so there's strikeouts in this lineup. I like Fede. Let's talk about the Royals bats. Again, I like the Royals a little bit here today. Not as much as I liked them yesterday. I stacked them every which way I could on DraftKings and Yahoo. But I still like them more of it probably as a mini stack here.
Yeah, man. I kind of don't want to play Kansas City, to be honest with you, because I just feel like there's some other teams that I want to play. But I do like some of these backs. Like, I mean, we saw Velasquez and some and Melinda. I mean, they just had monster days, you know, on the previous slate. I'm not saying they're going to do it today, but, you know, they do have some upside. I still think they're a little bit too cheap even against Fetty. So I think I take I run, you know, a few stats out of my mass multi-entry build. And not necessarily to hedge per se, even though I am going to play Fetty. But just to get some exposure, I mean, sometimes, Stevie, like you said, we saw Soroka today come out and have an okay performance in Kansas City, still put up a whole bunch of runs later on. So I think I still play a touch of Kansas City.
All right, moving on. We got Houston at Texas. It bothers me every time. Old listeners, new listeners, everyone knows this. I hate saying Houston at Texas. It drives me insane. 9.5 total in this game. Houston, a slight 126 favorite. Hunter Brown against Cody Bradford. Any interest here in Hunter Brown?
Oh, man, Stevie. This is a tough one for me because I do know that Brown does have some upside. Like, there is some upside with Brown. I don't think he has enough upside against Texas. So I'm going to leave him on the shelf today because I think in the 8K range, like, we talked about Singer. Like, Singer's my guy, too, in the 8K range. But there's one other guy. Or two other guys. Like, do I think Brown has more upside, raw upside than Green? I don't think so, Stevie. No way. And there's one other guy in the 8K range that I'm absolutely going to be playing today. So I think Brown gets left out, especially since I'm going to play Fetty. And I'm okay with that. I don't know if he has quite enough upside against Texas.
See, I kind of like Brown. I love the talent prospects, like, long term for Hunter Brown.
Yeah.
Now, like, no late. Nate Lowe is already on the IL. Jung fractured his wrist. I don't know if it, I think it happened on Wednesday. I kind of like Brown in this spot. Like, the lineup overall looks a lot worse now. Like, I mean, Josh Smith, Duren, Tavari. Like, there's a lot of Jared Walsh. There's a lot of strikeouts in this lineup. So I might play Hunter Brown on, like, one of five, but I do like the, like, long-term prospects of Hunter Brown. I think he has a lot of talent. He's a huge prospect. So I really do think, like, I will end up playing him on a little bit here, just in general, for what it's worth. So I still worry about the Texas bats. I still think it's a good lineup. We do have better options in this range as far as matchups are concerned. But I just like the potential more than anything else in this spot. I like him even more the fact that I really do think he's going to be overlooked in this spot. So,
yeah.
Bradford on the other side, he's a lefty. He gets a terrible matchup here. Whether or not Cody Bradford is good or not, it's still way too early to tell in his career. But he's facing one of the best teams in baseball against left-handed pitching. I got nothing on Cody Bradford today.
Yep, not playing him. Not at all.
Yeezy said he likes the overs in this game. I like the over on Houston's runs if it's 4.5. I haven't looked yet, but I don't know if I bet the full over on this game. Maybe. 9.5 is high. All right. Houston bats against the lefty. I mean, Altuve, Bregman, Diaz, McCormick, Pena. I mean, all these guys are going to be in play for me. And again, I say it all the time. I love Chaz against left-handed pitching. And Diaz is finally up to the point where you actually have to think about playing him or not at 4,200. Finally. What are your thoughts on the Astros?
Yeah, man, I still think you play him. There's enough mid-range pitching to get it done. You know, we've got Jose Abreu who, man, it's not doing much, so I don't know. You know, he'll be in some of my larger stacks. You know, Bregman still hasn't eclipsed 5K, hasn't earned it yet. Full disclosure, has not earned the right to be over 5K, Stevie. So he shouldn't be. Altuve, 5,300. Pena, 3,900. Alvarez and Tucker up there, but you got McCormick and a couple other guys that you can roll in. So I like this team, Stevie. I like the salary distribution. You don't have to play all the expensive guys. You can kind of, you know, piece some things together. So this is a good spot for this team, I think, and should be a tough matchup for Bradshaw for sure.
Texas bats, you know, if you don't believe in Brown or you just believe in the Texas lineup, that's fine. I talked about this on Grinders Live or Crunch Time. I was on Crunch Time the other day. Wyatt Langford, everything this kid is hitting is hard. Like he's eventually going to get some launch angles right, and he's eventually going to start hitting home runs. But everything this dude is hitting right now is hard. I mean, he has a 53% hard hit rate through his first few games of his career. He's hitting everything hard.
Yeah, I mean, I still like this team, Stevie. I know Walsh is going to strike out, but you get Semien at 5K. You know, you've got Duran who's going to play a little bit now. I'm not sure if they're going to play Matt Duffy. I think they're going to play way more Duran than Duffy. Corey Seager, I mean, you can play him in almost every spot. So, I mean, all this kid does is rate. You still got Garcia. You talk about Langford. I think there's enough quality bats here to give Brown a few problems up and down. So, I like this game in general. I think, once again, I don't think I go full five-man on Texas. I probably go 3 to 4 max, probably mainly three-man, but I still like the spot. Houston, I'm for sure going five-man here.
Yeah, Carter doesn't have a hit this season, but he's walks and steals bases and scores runs. Like, yeah, I mean, Evan Carter's going to start hitting too. So, yeah this team's going to start hitting and start rolling. Corey Seager always, like you said, always in play. Michael Armstrong says, stuck in traffic here in Orlando. Thanks for making the time go by faster on the 408. They must be doing some construction because traffic on the 408 at 11 o'clock, that's rough as someone that uses the 408 a lot. All right. Seattle against Milwaukee in this one. Logan Gilbert, Freddy Peralta, 7.5 total. Pick 'em game. Logan Gilbert and Freddy Peralta, Will, what are we doing with Gilbert here?
I'm playing him. Steve, that's what I'm saying. He's one of these guys below 10K, 9,600. Had a really nice season last season. Obviously opened up against Boston. What I was encouraged to see, though, Stevie, 91 pitches, got through 7 innings, 8 strikeouts. He will have some strikeout opportunities with this team in Milwaukee. On the road, won't matter. Love Gilbert today. I'm not saying he has this same dominant performance, but I think it's something close. I think it's close enough, Stevie. So at $9,500, you're getting a $1,500 discount off Strider, which could open it up for a few extra bats like Gilbert here. Definitely think the strikeouts will be there today.
Yeah, I'm gonna be digging into Gilbert a little bit. I want to know what he did differently against left-handed batters in that first start, because he was making the lefties for Boston whiff. Like a ton. So I watched that game. Love when Boston's on the West Coast, because like usually the podcast is done and I'm usually working on other stuff and like I get to watch the Sox play. But yeah, Gilbert, he was making the lefties whiff hard. Like I was looking again, it's one start, so I want to see if it was just an outlier or not. But he had 46.5% K rate with a massive like 34% whiff rate against lefties in that first start. I am with you. I like Peralta, or I like Gilbert a lot. Hey, I like Freddy Peralta a lot too. You know, we talk about Seattle strikeouts. I mean, this is an excellent spot to play either one of these pitchers or both of these pitchers. I mean, both of these guys have a ton of upside in this spot.
Yeah, absolutely. Love Freddy Peralta as well, Stevie. He's a little cheaper, $9,300, getting a $1,700 discount off Strider. And I legitimately think, Stevie, if Freddy Peralta's on in this type of spot here at home against Seattle, he's not Spencer Strider. But I think for the price, Stevie, if Strider puts up 35-ish and he gets to 29, I think Freddy's still the better play. And so I really like Freddy today at this price. You know, I think it's a good spot for him. I think the strikeouts will be there. If Babbitt is on his side, Stevie, you know, like in the last game, Babbitt was on his side. He faced the Mets. It's not like he faced, and once again, the Mets aren't the same, but he faced the Mets, only gave up one hit, Stevie, one walk. For him, that's spectacular. He's a guy that typically gives up 5 or 6 hits, 2 or 3 walks, and still gets the strikeout. If he can continue to be efficient in this spot, increase the strikeouts, I think we I think we see a really nice performance. And love Freddie Peralta today.
Yeah, I always build out a team before the podcast just to kind of get an idea of what I'm looking at. And like, I really liked where the Peralta Singer builds were giving me that. Yeah, so that'd probably end up being my main combo, depending on how stuff kind of shapes up. And for what it's worth, like, how you attack Peralta is like left-handed power, and Polanco's the best left-handed power bat in this lineup. That tells you a lot about this lineup.
You're not worried about J.P. Crawford.
No, so many strikeouts too. So many righties. Like, first of all, they can't get left-handed heavy. This dude strikes out righties at a huge clip. Huge clip. 36% last season. You know, his swinging strike rate was 16%. That's elite. 16% swinging strike rate over a course of a season is elite.
That's what I'm saying.
I have zero interest in bats in this game. No, if bats beat me in this game, they beat me. Like, there'll be a home run or two probably, but, I mean, this is a game that is not going to see a lot of scored runs.
Yeah, I'm with you, Stevie, 100%.
You're playing bats from that game. You're hoping for some bullpen runs, so not doing it. Boston at L.A., taking on the Angels is where we finish out. 8.5 total. Angels a slight favorite, but pretty much a pick 'em game. Cutter, Crawford, Griffin, Canning facing off against each other. Any interest here in Cutter Crawford?
Yes, Stevie. Yep. This is my other guy in the 8K range, 8,400. Mm-hmm. He got Seattle to start the season, and we saw the performance there. 6 innings pitched, 3 hits, 7 strikeouts. But the thing is, Stevie, I don't think this is noise. We saw him in spring training build up into this, like, consistently. Like, if you follow his spring training starts, you know, he pretty much was over a strikeout per inning in almost every start, Stevie. So if he went 2 innings, he got 3. If he went 3 innings, you were seeing 4. If he went 4 innings, he was getting 5 to 6. You know, so I don't think this is noise for him. You know, another year under his belt, facing a team that's also going to give him some strikeouts in L.A. or in the Angels. I like Cutter Crawford at 8,400. He's one of my favorite pitchers today that I think won't get the ownership. I think people will play Hunter Green. I think they'll play Singer. I think they'll play Nola, Peralta, Gilbert, Strider. I feel like he's the odd man out in the mid-range at 8,400, and I think that's a mistake. Cutter Crawford, I think, is going to have a good outing here against the Angels. I love him today.
Yeah, he is really kind of developing into – a guy that could be a huge part of the Red Sox, like, future. Again, like, you have Trout, but now Trout is not protected by Ohtani anymore. You're going to pitch Trout just completely different this year than you have the last few years when he's been healthy and Ohtani's been on the court or on the field as well. So I'm with you on Crawford. And this is what this slate is just fantastic. It's just a fantastic slate overall because there's so many ways to approach this slate in general. Any interest here in Canning on the other side?
No.
Yeah. I mean, you're a little concerned about his first start, but you're also like, all right, Boston lineup is not.
Need him today, though. That's really what it is. Sorry.
I think that's.
I should have clarified it.
Yeah. I don't think he's like this guy that's like a bad pitcher by any means, but I think what you're saying makes more sense of like, we probably just don't need him today. So we'll see. Bats in this one. Any interest here in the Red Sox bats?
Yeah, I'm not thrilled about the Red Sox today, Stevie. I don't think this is a super duper spot. Look, if you're telling me, you know, you want to play Rafael Devers, I'm not going to fight you on that. Like, I mean, he's Rafael Devers. The guy is great. You know, and there are some other lefties in this lineup. Like, if they run Yoshida out there and you want to play Yoshida, that's fine, you know, or Casas, if you want to play him, okay. But I'm not rushing to stack up Boston for what it's worth. And I do think Boston is going to play better than what we anticipated on paper, Stevie. I think this team is going to be better in the end than maybe – where we all thought they would end up. And I know you'll feel happy about that. With what feels like, I guess, maybe a team is just kind of thrown together. But I like them, but I'm not going to target them today.
I don't think Tyler O'Neill can keep hitting as well as he has been to start the season. you do expect, like, Devers to keep doing his thing. And Duran is someone that we saw last year kind of take that next step. So, like, I mean, those two guys, sure. I don't mind maybe one or two bats here from Boston. Canning's not an overpowering pitcher. Other side, any interest here in the Angels?
No.
Yeah, I mean, you can play Trout on any slate. I just don't know how much you're going to get to Trout at 5,900. I will say, like, the price tag on Ward is really nice. He's a major league hitter. Price tag is nice at 4,300, but I like Ward a lot more against left-handed pitching than I do against right-handed pitching. So, yeah, let's play the morning grind game. I think that pretty much wraps up that morning grind game for sure. Oh, under 8K to get six or more strikeouts. Who do you got today?
Well, Stevie, I don't think this is a secret here. It's got to be my boy, Mr. Eric Fetty from the KBO. Played for the NC Dinos. Don't let me down, Fetty. Keep this train rolling. And I will happily keep accepting the sports books being down on you with 3.5 strikeouts. This is fantastic if you guys can get it. Oof.
So, okay, I'm the host. I can do what I want. I'm going to go Hunter Brown right at 8K because I don't think Bradford, Quintana, Henry, or Corbin are getting the strikeouts. I think Brown and Fetty probably have the best two chances, so I'm breaking my own rules. Over 8K to score under 15, who's your bust today?
Got to be Aaron Nola. He's the odd man out for me, struggling. The only way – if he struggles today, that's how he gets there, Stevie. Because I really don't see anybody else going under 15 fantasy points over 8K. I don't see it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to say Hunter Green, and it's more of just the ballpark than it is Hunter Green. I think Hunter Green has a lot of elite, like, upside.
Ladies and gentlemen, looks like Stevie fell out a little bit. I'm sure he'll be right back. So don't sweat that. I'm going to try to finish this out. He was saying it was Hunter Green, was his choice at 8,300. I definitely understand his stance on Hunter Green for what it's worth, just because Hunter Green, if he has those control issues, right, then at that point, that I think is what would cause him to miss the mark. So Hunter Green, 8,300, that's going to be Stevie's choice for less than 15 fantasy points. He's back.
Yeah. Listen, I love Fangraphs. I don't want to, like, dog Fangraphs at all, but has anybody else been having, like, Fangraphs issues ever since?
Oh, yeah. They load slow. It's terrible.
It literally just crashed my whole Chrome. So,
yeah.
My answer was Hunter Green. I think I got that out there. So, I did do
the spiel for them on why I felt like you chose Hunter Green. Yeah. High upside, but has control issues, could get hit around a little bit, and that brings his fantasy points down.
We've been working together a long time. Will gets me. I'm not used to being on this side. This side. All right. over 4K to hit a home run. Who do you got to go yard today?
Man, I'm going to go with a guy, Stevie, that I'm going hometown here. I got to stay there. Give me Marcelo Ozuna, 4,500. Let's see a missile go out of Truist Park today.
Yeah, I like that. Great ballpark, man. I love that ballpark. One of my favorite ballparks to go to.
Oh, Truist is games. Amazing. Amazing.
Yeah. I'm going to go with my boy Nick Castellanos. I talked about him. I absolutely love this spot for him today. Under 4K to get two hits. Who's a cheap bat that you like today?
Man, Stevie, we got a lot of them today. I was kind of trying to think through different scenarios. Look, man. I think. Oh, this is a tough one. I'm trying not to go to Atlanta Braves because we've got DR No at 3,700. I think I'm just going DR no. I think he gets there, Stevie. Like Henry's rough. I think he gets there. Give me DR no.
I think Stuart Fairchild cracks the lineup today for the Reds at 3K. Love this matchup a lot here, going up against Quintana. Hopefully he draws a good enough lineup spot where he gets, you know, two or three at bats against the lefty. But give me Fairchild here at 3K to get two hits today. Did it on opening day as well. Stack to score six or more runs. Who do you got today?
Who I am going with, the Philadelphia Phillies, Stevie. Love them today against Corbin. No secret there. Give me the Phillies.
Yeah, I'm going to go Astros. They're probably my top stack today. As much as I like Atlanta and as much as I like Philly and Cincy, listen, Cody Bradford, lefty against this team, power up and down. Yeezy was talking about the over in this game, and I'm just excited to play some Astros today. I love their overall ceiling on this slate. So, yeah, I'm going to go Astros in this one. Let's talk player props or pick 'em plays. Anything jumping off the board here for you?
Listen, they're giving us Brady Singer. See, I don't know what's going on. Something's going on here. Brady Singer, 5.5 strikeouts. Plus 125 on DraftKings, plus 125 on Bet365 in the same game as Fetty. I think the over's in order, Stevie. This is amazing. It's amazing.
Yeah, I saw that. So that was one of the ones that I had written down. So I'm with you on that one. I like that one a lot. So I'm right there with you. I saw that one, and man, I think there's a lot of good ones today. I'm going to go to Jose Altuve at over 1.5 total bases at even money. I absolutely love this spot today for Jose Altuve going up against Bradford. So getting Altuve, we know he's going to hit towards the top of the order. We know he's likely locked in for 4 at-bats with the potential of that 5th at-bat. So give me Altuve to get over 1.5 total bases at even money. Any lines or anything jumping off to you here?
Let's see, Stevie. I was just on that page too, actually. Man. I mean, really, Stevie, I think this is actually a good line. They're giving us Houston, we're getting at minus 125 on Bet River. I think, I mean, it's around 130. 135 everywhere else. I think that's pretty good considering I'm expecting them to win this game. I like them a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a great one. I'm with you on. I like Houston. The one that I wrote down today is Phillies minus a half a run for the first 5 innings at minus 125. You get this on BetMGM. Aaron Nola against.
Is that a promo?
No, Aaron Nola against Patrick Corbin. And Bet Rivers, if you really feel confident, you can get him at minus 1.5 through the first 5 innings for plus 140 on Bet Rivers. But I wrote down minus a half a run. So Phillies need to be up by one run, basically, through the first 5 innings for us to hit this one. But I like Nola against this Washington lineup, Corbin against the Phillies lineup. I really do like this first 5 innings, half a run upside. I mean, the money line is 175, and I get like the juice part of it. Like, you know, you can push with the money line, but you can't push with the run line. So I get that aspect, but Patrick Corbin would have to have a heck of a game to not be losing this one against Nola. So give me Phillies minus a half a run, minus 125 over there on BetMGM. Will, any final thoughts before we get out of here?
Negative. Enjoyed it tonight, man. I think this is a good pod, Steve. We just got a chance to talk and chop it up a little bit. So glad I could come on. I hope we help the people make a few dollars.
Yeah, it's been a great start to the season for the podcast. If everyone's been hanging out with us and listening to the podcast, it's been a great start this season. We've been on a lot of stuff to start the year, and let's just keep it rolling. I mean, that's my goal, is to keep it rolling. I love baseball. I obviously know a lot about baseball. I spent a lot of time in my life playing baseball and following baseball. So Appreciate everyone hanging out. If you haven't already, hit that subscribe button. If you like the show, hit the subscribe. Help us grow. We're going to get out of here. Have a fantastic weekend. We're back on Monday talking baseball. Good luck, everyone. We'll see you then.